took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Is that I think there is at the heart of the gospel hope. To say that hope is the thing that bridges the gap between the world as it is and the world as it could be. It's hope, of course, that gives us a future, that gives us a purpose. Without hope, we are lost, because if there's no future worth hoping for, then we kind of descend into despair or into cynicism. And yet I think we face a bit of a pandemic of hopelessness in our day. And there are plenty of good reasons why people might feel overwhelmed. A climate emergency, war in Europe, a cost of living crisis, the legacy of COVID-19. These are the things that St. Paul calls in Romans chapter 8, these present sufferings. Add to that, of course, that the personal sufferings that we face in life, the struggles with ill health, or when relationships go wrong, money worries, loss, and life can begin to feel a bit unmanageable, as though things are spinning out of control. We face, says St. Paul, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, to name but a few. And these things, these tough things, he says, separate us from our hope, from our life, from joy. And we fear, perhaps, that they might even separate us from God. And yet, says St. Paul, earlier in Romans chapter 8, by hope we are saved. We hope for what we do not have. We wait for it patiently. We Christians are called to be a hopeful people, not because these present sufferings are not hard, or that we somehow are immune from them, because we're not, but because God is good. And, here's the promise, there is nothing, nothing in all creation that we'll be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to explore that this morning. Why do we have cause to be hopeful people? And I want to think about God's presence and about God's purpose and God's power as the grounds for our hope as Christians. So God's presence. One of the names that we give to Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In the midst of our struggles and our difficulties, we can feel very alone. We may have really good friends, very supportive family, but we can still feel isolated if we are in pain. And we can wonder if we've just got to get through this on our own. But the promise of the gospel is that in all things, God is with us. We're never left comfortless nor abandoned. See what St. Paul says. The Spirit, he says, helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Even when we cannot form the words or the thoughts, God, by his Holy Spirit, is within us and is interceding for us in those wordless groans. In some way, the indwelling Spirit takes our pain and offers it to the Father on our behalf. When our hope fails, the Spirit prays on for us. We may sense God is very far away, but the channel of communication is never closed. God is always present, and he is present in our suffering. As the hymn has it, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in a breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye, when none but God is near. So we can be a people of hope because God is always present. And that is true even when, and perhaps especially when, we don't feel that presence. At the end of our tether, in the depths of despair, God is present by the Spirit, praying for us in groans that are beyond thought and language. And we are reminded later in Romans chapter 8 of this. Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Sisters and brothers, we have a friend in high places. And we can be a hopeful people because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, who intercedes for us. And we can be hopeful because not only is God present in all things, but we believe that God has a purpose for us. Let me just remind you of some verses from Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, there are 20 different sermons in just those three verses, but I just want us to notice that God has a purpose for us and for creation. He knows us. He calls us to be like Jesus and part of the family of the church. We are called, we are put right with God. We have the promise of the glory that is yet to be revealed. God has a purpose for us, for you and for me. And sometimes we wonder when things go really badly wrong, is anyone in charge here? When life goes careering off course, when the wheels come off, we wonder if we are not just living in a random world where suddenly out of the blue things can go terribly wrong. And that's a scary feeling. We sense that we're losing control. But we are hopeful people, not because we feel as though we are in control of everything, but because we believe God is. What do you make, I wonder, of these words? We know that in all things, God's work... We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Do they? It can be hard, can't it, to trust that that is so. It clearly does not mean that everything will turn out right in the end if we have faith, and if everything goes wrong, it's because we haven't got enough faith. But that God will work to bring us at last to the glory that he has promised and is yet to be revealed, the hope that we wait for with a godly patience. And I think of those famous words of Julian of Norwich, "All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." We place our hope in the God who has a good purpose for us. And we believe that one day that purpose will be fulfilled. Life is not just a random series of events. God knows us, calls us, and works in and through us to fulfill those purposes. In the meantime, this truth gives us hope. So God is present with us in our sufferings by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God has a purpose for our lives that gives real hope and meaning. And this is possible, all possible, because of God's power. Christian hope is never about what we do. We are hopeful because God has the power to defeat those very things that take our hope away, the things that separate us from life. And these great verses, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. All those things that drain the hope out of our lives have been overcome. We are more than conquerors, not because of our own strength, but because of the power of God to defeat the powers of evil and death and to bring healing and new life. So says St. Paul, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The power of God is the power of God's love. It is a power revealed most fully in Christ and on the cross. And it is this love that defeats those other great powers of the universe that threaten, that cause us to lose hope. So can we say with St. Paul, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will the cost of living, climate anxiety, war in Europe, my ill health, that recent bereavement?" No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For this is our hope, that God is for us. And the power of God's love is the one and only thing we can rely upon for a hope that will endure. So, reasons to be hopeful in an unstable and sometimes despairing world. Reasons to be hopeful for ourselves, and a hope, of course, which we want to share with that needy world. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you will know the abiding presence of God in your hearts and your lives. And when you feel that sense of emptiness or separation, that you will know that this is the point at which the Spirit of God intercedes for you with sighs too deep for words. Never abandoned. The love of God remains. God is present. And I pray too that you will have a sense of God's guiding purpose in your life. Sometimes it will seem hard to see that plan, that sense that God is in control. And you will find yourself asking, why is this happening to me or to my family or to my community or to the world? But our hope lies in this, that God knows you. God has called you. He has a purpose for you. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. And it's my prayer too for all of us that we will know something more of the power of God, which is the power of God's love that means we are more than conquerors. God has defeated the powers that destroy and damage. Through the death and resurrection of his Son, he has given us a living hope upon which we can rely. As Christians, it is this hope that frames our lives. And so with the Apostle Paul and all God's faithful people now and in every generation, we are bold to say, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.